How many of you know a little bit about daylight saving time? Now, we've all lived through it. We've all had our moments when we enjoy the one that happens this time of year. We're not so crazy about the one that happens back in springtime, are we? Because that one, you lose an hour of sleep and it's just not any fun. This is a little bit of history that you might get from that. Today, the end of daylight saving time actually ended officially at 2 a.m. this morning. Some of the historical content for you is that the practice of daylight saving time started in Germany in 1916 because of World War I. In 1918, the U.S. adopted it also until the idea was done away with and abolished after the war. But in 1942, President Roosevelt instituted year-round wartime. Some of you were here then, Bob. And in 1945, it became optional for states and crimes. In 1945, where was I? It became optional for cities and states if they wanted to continue it. In 1966, the Uniform Time Act was introduced. And in 1967, Arizona and Michigan became the first two states to exempt themselves from daylight saving time. In 1972, Michigan changed its mind. And today, there are two states that don't observe daylight saving time. Does anybody know which two they are? Arizona and Hawaii. That's correct. That's right. So those are the two that do not observe it. As of 2019, there's a movement in support of year-round daylight saving time, with the main argument being the lifestyles and work patterns of modern-day citizens and the ability to save energy by reducing the need for artificial light. So I'm sure there's one thing we can all agree about, is that we all enjoy that extra hour of sleep. Can I get an amen? I'm sure you're like me, even though your body probably said, go ahead and get up. I know it's 5 o'clock outside, but you think it's six, so go ahead and get up. Or maybe you thought it was eight outside and you got up at seven or whatever. It takes a little while to convince your body otherwise. Today, we're going to look at the original daylight saving time. It's in the Bible. If you want to go ahead and turn to Joshua, the 10th chapter, that's what we're going to look at today. It happened once back in Joshua's day, and we're going to look at that today. Before we read this passage, let me encourage you to begin to think about the impossible situations that are in your life, because every one of us have some impossible situations that are in our lives. We have some impossible needs that they just look impossible to us on the outside. They look impossible to us because maybe it's been this way for a long time, or they look impossible to us because other people have told us that's impossible. But I want you to begin to think about those things in your life, because we're going to find out what God has to say about that. The incredible conflict within your life might just seem too big, but I have news for you. God's got something else going on here. The story that I'm about to read to you and the prayer that I'm going to encourage you to pray is not just limited, let me tell you this, to a few super Christians. It's for everybody who will call on the name of the Lord. Now, some have settled into comfortable complacency and have been lulled to sleep with low expectations. Too many people are simply trying to just survive. But God didn't create you and I just to survive. He created you to be much more than a survivor. You see, Jesus didn't come as the light of the world so you could huddle in the dark. Jesus didn't go to the cross so you could just survive rush hour. He didn't walk out of the tomb just so you could come crawling into your closet to pray. No, Jesus has set the table and prepared a feast for you that's yours for the taking, and he has conquered hell, and that makes you more than a survivor. It makes you a conqueror, because you've got conqueror's blood flowing through you right now. Isn't that wonderful? You have conqueror's blood in you. We're going to talk about that today. You may think that you're just a survivor, but you truly are more than a survivor. You are a champion. So my prayer for you today is that this story will become your story. This is not going to just be an Old Testament story. This is going to be your story. So let's read it. Here we are. Joshua, 10th chapter, verses 7 through 14. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Pause right there. This doesn't have to do with the actual sermon so much as it's just a little historical content. But when you read that much of it, do you realize that God was speaking to Joshua in past tense? He says to him, I have already given you the victory over them. You see, when God does something supernatural in your life, when God goes to battle for you, he goes to battle for you in a place that the victory has already been won. He didn't say, I am going to give you the victory. He says, I have given you the victory. Now, that's enough to go home and shout on all day long, but that's just a little bit of where we're going. It doesn't really have so much to do with this story as much as it has to do with the fact that God is able to do great things in your life. Let's continue. Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Azekah and Makeda. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with a sword. Pause right there for just a minute. When I read that, I see that God can do more with just a few pieces of marble-sized hail or baseball-sized hail or whatever kind of hail he wants to. You see, God's able to do more with just a little bit of time than you are able to do with a whole lot of time. You'll see where your part is still to be played, but I'm so grateful that God works very quickly when he needs to. Can you say amen to that? On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its armies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. Didn't go down for a whole day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Isn't that a wonderfully exciting story? And yet you've probably heard it so many times, it can, if you're not careful, become just commonplace. Now, when my life is over, when I'm dead and gone, I don't want people just to think of me as what I have done and who I was. I want them to think about the great things that God did. I want God to get the glory for anything and everything that happened in my life. I don't want there to be anybody to blame for the goodness that followed me all the days of my life other than God. How about you? I want God to be the one who gets the credit for whatever took place in the life of Steve Bryant. I want people to know that it was because of God's grace. It wasn't because of my pedigree. It wasn't because I came from a pastor's home. It wasn't because of education. It wasn't because of my own ability to do whatever it is that I do. It was because God himself got involved in the situation and did things for me that I couldn't have done on my own. I want people to say, surely the Lord fought for Steve Bryant. How about you? Is that the way you want to do it? I think so. Now, you may be thinking this is a great story, but I've heard this story. I mean, I've been in church a long time, and at least every other year or so, somebody pulls that one out on this Sunday, or they always talk about this one. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've heard it just enough that you said, I've heard it. Wow me with one of those hidden verses that I don't see very often. Bring out a nugget that nobody has ever discovered before. I would love to do that, but there's not one. I'll just tell you. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon wrote. When I was a kid, I used to love it when a preacher would come and say, now there's a little known verse over here in the book of whatever, and he'd pull out something, and he'd read something, and I would think, I've never saw that before, and I've never heard that application before. And a lot of times when I would really look at it later in later years, I would realize the reason I'd never seen that application before is because it didn't fit. That's not what he's talking about. But so sometimes people can take something completely out of character. Today I'm going to stay right in character. I'm going to go right down the middle of the road. How about this? I don't think you have to help God with coming up with something, because he's done so much already for us that we can trust him with what he said in his word. So here's what you need to know. If the size of your need in life seems too big for you, it's just the right size for God. If the size of your need in life seems too big for you, it's just the right size for God. Now, this is simple stuff. This is remedial ministry. This is the kind of stuff that you would hear in Sunday school as a child, and you would hear it as a teenager, and you'll hear it as a young adult and as an old adult, and all of us can understand that God can do more than we can, and if we can't do it ourselves, we can always come to God and we can say, Lord, I need something. But here's what I notice about church people. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we get so caught up in just surviving, or God has been good to us to a point that we get to the point and we say, God, if you never do anything else for me, what you've done is enough. You've saved my soul, and I'm not going to ask for anything else as long as I live. Now, we may not say that, but sometimes we act like that. Because we say, God, you have been so faithful to me. You've been so good to me. Lord, I feel guilty coming to you and asking for anything else. And yet Jesus wants you to. God wants you to come and ask, because it's his specialty. It's in God's wheelhouse. It's his favorite way to bless his kids. So don't give up. Don't look down. Don't doubt when you have a big mountain in front of you, or when something is in front of you that seems too big for you. God is just warming up and getting ready to do something. So let me tell you the backstory on this story. I'm going to fill in some of the blanks for you just so you have an idea of what went down. Joshua had gotten himself into a situation with the nation of Israel, into a bad situation because he made a treaty with Gibeon. The city of Gibeon had deceived him, and even though they had lied to him, he had to honor his treaty. And so Joshua should have never been connected with this nation or with these people of Gibeon, but he had already done it, and so now he was kind of tied to them. He made the mistake, and now he's asking God to get him out of the trouble that he himself got into. Now, how many of you have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. We've all done it. We've all done it. Everybody's done it, where it was our fault, and we still come to God and we say, God, help. Help. I know I did it. I know it was my fault. I messed up. But Lord, if you'll just get me out of this one time, I won't do it again. And Joshua kind of found himself in the same place. Lord, I know I spent money on foolish things, but I need rent. Lord, I know I shouldn't have eaten that, but can you forgive me and take my stomach ache away? Or how about this one? Lord, I know I wasn't a good parent when my kids were little, but now they're making big mistakes. And if you don't help me and work this out, I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, all of us have had those moments in our lives when we did something that we knew wasn't right when we did it, but then somewhere along the way, we come to God and ask for his help. And let me tell you something, there's nothing good about making the mistakes, but you can always count on God to come through even when it's your fault. If you've ever made a mistake and needed God to get you out of the mess, you know exactly how that feels. And you can relate to this situation in Joshua. God's not only the God of second chances. He shows up and fights for you even when you get yourself in trouble. It's a little bit like having an older brother. Now, I have a brother who's 4 years older than me. And when I was a kid, if I got into trouble, I could always call on Tim. Now, Tim was not a big guy. He was little, but he was 4 years older than me, so he was bigger than me. And he was bigger than the guys that I picked fights with. And so it was good to have an older brother. And it was good to have an older brother that liked to fight. And so I thought that was great. So I kind of messed up, but I could call on him. I'm not saying God is your big brother who's going to come and beat up all your enemies, but I will tell you, God's your big brother who'll come and beat up all your enemies. Okay, there we go. He got That's what I find out. So when Gibeon was attacked, Joshua goes to war to protect his ally, the people of Gibeon. As the battle is happening, the sun begins to set in the west. And Joshua knew that if the sun went down in the west, the enemy would escape. And that's when Joshua remembers this promise that God had made to him at the beginning part of that verse, that not one of his enemies would be able to stand up against him. And so Joshua prays this little short 15-word prayer, and God answers it. Now, Josh remembers the promise that none of his enemies would stand before him, so he stands up, and it's a desperate situation. He prays the prayer that he's never heard that prayer before. He's never heard of anybody that's prayed that prayer before. This was a prayer that had never even been prayed before, and yet he prayed it out loud in front of the whole nation of Israel. Now, if that was me, I'd have mumbled that sucker under my breath. I certainly wouldn't have come up and said, "Dear God, in the presence of everybody here, son, stand still." Because the fact is, if it didn't happen, he's going to look awful foolish. And if it did happen, if I just mumbled it under my breath, I would say, I could give it as a praise report later. You know, I prayed about that. And if it didn't happen, then I wouldn't have anybody to blame. Because you see, if this didn't happen the way that it went down, we wouldn't be reading the book of Joshua. We'd be reading the book that his nephew wrote, who took over for him because his uncle started barking at the sun and the moon one day. It wouldn't have been the same situation. But Joshua, in faith, looks up to the sky and says, "Lord, I remember that you said not one of our enemies would get away and they wouldn't be able to stand against us. And so, son, stand still. Moon, don't you move." And God answered the prayer. Here's what we know scientifically about this event. The sun doesn't move. The earth moves, right? We know that now, but in those days they didn't know it. Joshua didn't even get the prayer right. And God still listened to him. God still answered because God knew what he needed. God knew exactly what was going on. God knew that the earth circled around the sun. He knew that it wasn't the other way around, that the sun wasn't going up and coming down. God knew all the science behind it, but God went ahead and answered it anyway. You see, God wasn't insulted by Joshua's big request. He literally, I believe, gets insulted by our small request. It's the little ones that he gets insulted by. You can't intimidate God with your prayers. Let me say that again. You can't intimidate God with your prayers. Just because you are talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just because it seems awful big to you doesn't mean that it's awful big to an all-powerful God who made the entire universe. But we pray dumb stuff, don't we? All of our prayers don't sound as bold as this prayer do they? Think about this. Have you ever heard anybody pray this? And maybe you've prayed this yourself. I'm guilty of it myself. Have you ever prayed this? "God, just be with me today." Well, that sounds deep, doesn't it? God's thinking, "I didn't realize we were planning on being apart today." I mean, after all, I'm everywhere all the time. And I know you're saying you want to spend time with me today, but I am the God of the universe. And so if it's cool if you just want me to hang with you today, then I'll hang with you. If that's all you got, we'll start there. And that's kind of the sum. If you're not careful, some people, that's their prayer. They get up in the morning and they're driving to work and I forgot to pray. "Dear Lord, be with me today. Amen." And then we go on about our business, you know, and that's it. That's the sum total of the prayer. Not good enough. Or we do this one. We say, "Lord, I'm having some pain today. Can you touch my body? Lord, I'm having some financial problems. Can you work out a situation in my life? Lord, my family's gone crazy. They've lost their mind. Can you help it?" And then we end it like this: "If it be thy will." And God's like, "Well, thank you for that clause at the end, because I wasn't really going to do that, but since you gave me that out, I'm not going to have to. That was a close one. I feel so much better." God doesn't need you to give him a clause at the end. I know what you're saying is you need to pray in the will of God. But there comes some point in your life when our prayers, we need to quit adding "if it be thy will" at the end of all of our prayers, because we know what the will of God is. I don't see Joshua standing up there and saying, "Sun, stand still. Moon, don't you go anywhere. If it be thy will." He didn't pray that. He prayed under the authority. He prayed under the power. He prayed under the anointing of God, because he knew what the will of God was for that situation. When you know what the will of God is in a situation, you will pray bold and audacious prayers. You will pray prayers that don't sound like every other prayer that you've ever prayed. You'll find yourself in the middle of a new situation praying a new kind of prayer. You'll find yourself in a situation you've maybe seemed like it was impossible, and you'll pray an impossible kind of prayer. You will move beyond just saying, "Lord, be with me, and if it be thy will for you to do this, if you don't have anything better to do, and if you don't, if it's not too much to ask, if you could just, Lord, if you could just, if I could just twist your arm just enough this one time to help me." You won't be praying those kind of prayers, because you will take the authority of a child of God, the son of a king. You will take the role that you have as a daughter of the Most High. You will find yourself praying like you mean it, like you believe it. God wants you to pray that way. God didn't make the sun stand still because Joshua prayed, "If it be thy will." He got bold enough to pray it because he knew that God had already said that nobody would stand against him. As a matter of fact, the greatest humility that you can walk in is to pray in a way that if God doesn't come through, that you look foolish. How many prayers do we see in the Bible where somebody prayed it, and if it hadn't come through, they would look foolish? When Jesus himself came in and called for the little person, the child to stand up, and the Lord raised this child from the dead, it wasn't, if she hadn't been raised from the dead, Jesus would have looked foolish. Other places where disciples did the same sort of miracles, the miraculous things, they would have looked foolish if it hadn't come through at the time. But they put themselves out there because they had faith that God was going to take them when they stepped out on nothing. They were going to land on something. I like this statement. It says, "If the size of your vision isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance that it's probably insulting to God." If the size of your vision isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance it's probably insulting to God. Now, when you start a church, when you launch a church, when you plant a church, there's all kinds of things that you look for. You look forward to when God is going to fill every pew, when you're going to have to go to multiple services, when you have to build larger buildings. You're looking for all of those things, and you see that God has planted that vision within you. But along the way, you can easily get comfortable and you say, "Well, Lord, here we are. We're in this nice little building. We got our bills met. Lord, we're not having to hunt too hard to find the next place," and so forth. And churches all around the world struggle with the same thing, that if we're not careful, we get comfortable doing whatever it is that we're doing. It's just like you in your own life. You can get very comfortable doing the same thing over and over again, but God hasn't wanted you to become comfortable. He's ready for you to step out of the boat. He's ready for you to pray the impossible prayer and let him take the helm. Let him show you that he's still capable of doing much more than what you think and much more than you imagine. If there's nothing too big in your life that's big enough to require faith in God to see it happen, then you're simply not trusting God enough. There's a direct relation between what you ask God for and what you believe about God's ability and his capacity. Let me ask you this. What are you asking for? What are you trusting God for? What do you believe that he will do in your life? What is the sun stand still prayer that you need to pray today? Now, you can't abuse this, however. The Bible does say if we ask anything according to his will, he will answer it. You still need to pray according to his will, but that's where you study the word to find out what the will of God actually is, so that when you pray that prayer, you say, "God, I know this is what the will of God is, and so I speak to this mountain. I speak to this situation, I speak to this circumstance in my life, knowing that this is your will. Now, you may be here today and you're connecting with this message. You had great things to do and great plans that you wanted to do with your life, but somewhere along the way, you settled for the survival mode. You stopped praying bold, audacious prayers. You stopped asking God to do the impossible. You settled for safe instead of supernatural. Now, you need to know that God won the victory, but Joshua still had to fight the battle. Think about that. God won the victory, but Joshua had to fight the battle. There are practical things that you need to know about this story. First, Joshua prayed that God would cause the sun to stand still, but he was still willing to march all night. It says he marched all night, not because he needed to earn God's favor, not because he needed to earn God's love. That was already established. But because God always uses our faith and our works together. Scripture tells us that faith without works is dead. It doesn't accomplish anything. So today, I think some of you are in the middle of a fight. Some of you are fighting for your health. Some of you are fighting for your family. Some of you might be fighting for your finances, for your marriage, for your future. And even though you know it's God's will to bless you, for you to overcome in these areas of your life, you've not been aggressive enough and bold enough to speak to those mountains in your life. Why? Because you don't want to look foolish. Plain and simple. You don't want to come across too fanatical in your life. You don't want to be disappointed if it doesn't work. You see, here's where so many of us find ourselves. If we don't want to be disappointed, we think the best way to stave off disappointment is to lower our expectations. Have you ever been there? Where you say, if I just lower my expectations enough, I will not live with disappointment because I'm just not expecting anything. God wants you to raise your expectations and put your expectations, tie your expectations to the faith that you have in God. What's that thing that is standing before you that's keeping you from accomplishing what you need to accomplish in your life? What's that mountain that's before you that is stopping you from doing what God called you to do? That mountain that is keeping you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for you? This is the important part of your life. This is the thing that God put you on the planet for. This is the purpose that He created you for. And what is it that's holding you back? You may say, well, I'm already too old, or I don't have enough money, and I don't have this. This is when the prayer comes in. This is when you begin to pray those kind of bold prayers that only anybody who is trusting God will pray. You don't want to look foolish. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to start acting like God's child? When are you going to start living like a child of the King? When are you going to ask for the impossible? When are you going to start speaking to the Son? Would you bow your heads? Today is the day for you to begin to pray bold and audacious prayers. Today is the day that you need to begin to pray with authority, praying with purpose, praying like you mean business. While I've been speaking this morning, I know that the Holy Spirit has actually been moving and has been bringing things to you to remind you that you need to turn up the heat on some of the things that you've been praying about. You're not going to beg God. You're simply going to step into the role that God has already ordained you to be in. He's given you the right and He's given you the authority to speak in His name. So your job is to start speaking. Speak to the mountains in your life. Speak to that spirit of fear in your life. Tell it to leave. Pray, Son, stand still prayers and see God do the impossible. You may be here today and you need to get your life right with God. You may have been running from Him, and it's time for you simply to stop running and to come home. You may have felt a call on your life somewhere back there, but you decided to run from it. I would tell you today, stop running from God and start running toward God. The most impossible thing that God will ever do is to transform a life that is filled with regret and shame and sin into a life of faith, hope, and glory. He wants to do that for you today. So I'm going to ask you right where you are to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to ask you to just agree with me as I pray today. I want you to know that it's never too late to start praying bold prayers. I said it's never too late to start praying bold prayers. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in your life at this moment. It is never too late to step up and say, God, today I choose to start praying boldly because I'm putting all of my faith in you, all of my confidence in you, all of my hope in you, and I know that you will not fail me now. So if you're here today, you'd say, Pastor Steve, I need to pray bolder prayers. I have limited myself. I have put a limit on what I think God will do based on my past experience. Right now, I want to step out and begin to pray bold, sun stand still prayers in my life because I want to see God do the supernatural. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. Yes, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Father, I speak to that mountain of doubt and fear, and I refuse to let it rise up in the lives of these people. I speak to that spirit of complacency and low expectations that so easily slip into our minds. I determine today to pray sun stand still prayers beginning today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to start today. I don't do this in my own strength. I don't speak from my own power. I raise my voice and cry out based on your power, your will, and your promises. Lord, it's not because of my own righteousness. It's because of yours. It's not in my name. It's in your name. And it's not so I will receive the glory or praise, but so that you will forever be known as the God who fights for your children and hears us when we dare to pray for the impossible. I thank you, Father, that you have heard us. You are hearing us. And Lord, just because no one has ever prayed the kind of prayer that we're praying today doesn't mean you won't hear us. I bless you for it, Father. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.